In this lesson, we're going to make an old-school D&B percussion layer feel wider, more animated, and way more musical across the arrangement, using an automation-first workflow in Ableton Live 12. And right away, I want to make one thing super clear. This is not about slapping a stereo widener on the whole drum bus and calling it a day. In drum and bass, especially if you're working in rollers, jungle refixes, darker halftime to full-time changes, or neuro-adjacent energy, the smart move is to keep the core kick, snare, and sub focused in the center. Then build width around that with movement. That way the track feels alive, but it still hits hard in mono, in clubs, and on systems that don't care about your fancy stereo tricks. So what we're building here is a chopped old-school percussion layer. Think ride ticks, shaker fragments, tambourine hits, rim notes, little top break bits, conga ghosts, metal clicks, all those tiny textures that sit behind the main break and add momentum. The goal is to make that layer evolve over time. Narrow in the intro, wider in the build, restless in the drop, then tightened back down for the next phrase. That's the vibe. Start by choosing the right source material. If you've got a classic old-school break or percussion loop, don't treat it like a full loop that needs to play untouched. Chop it for movement, not density. In Ableton, you can drag it into simpler in slice mode, or into a drum rack if you want each fragment on its own pad. If you want it tightly locked to tempo, use transient slicing and turn warp on, but keep the material sparse. If the layer is already too busy, widening it will just turn it into a blurry mess. The best width layers in D&B are often the ones you barely notice until they disappear. A really solid setup is to separate the main break from the percussion support layer. Keep the main drum break mostly central, and build a second layer from the top end fragments only. That second layer is your stereo playground, routed into its own group or bus, so you can control the whole character together. This is huge, because now you're thinking like an arranger, not just a sound designer. On that percussion group, start with EQ8. High pass it somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz, so the low mid clutter stays out of the way. If the loop is muddy, dip a bit around 250 to 450 Hz. If you need more sparkle, a gentle boost somewhere in the 6 to 9 kHz zone can help. The point is to clear space first, because the kick and sub need that center lane. The widened percussion should live on the edges and in the upper air. Then add utility, and use that as one of your main automation tools. Start with the width around 70 to 90% in the intro, then automate it wider as the track opens up. You might go to 100 or 120% in the build, maybe 90 to 110 in the drop depending on how busy things are, and then pull it back down to 60 to 80% in the breakdown. The key idea here is that width should breathe with the song. Think of it as a phrase-level automation lane, not a static effect. That's a really important mindset shift. In advanced D&B, the listener should feel the stereo field breathing with the arrangement, not here, oh, that's a wide drum loop. So instead of setting one wide value and leaving it there for the whole tune, draw automation that opens over 4 to 8 bars. Let the field bloom gradually. That creates tension, release, and movement without crowding the groove. Now, if you want to get more advanced, use mid/side control with EQ8. Keep the mid channel restrained, and let the side channel carry more of the upper frequency energy. You can high pass the side if the sample has any low mid blur, and add a small shelf up top, maybe 1 to 3 dB above 8 kHz. That gives you perceived width, without widening the whole body of the sound. This is especially useful in dark D&B mixes, where the center has to stay rock solid. Next, think about time-based movement. Sometimes a subtle echo or delay is more musical than just more width. In echo, keep the feedback low, maybe around 8 to 18%, and automate the dry/wet from 0 up to around 12% only in transitions. High pass the repeats so they don't cloud the groove. If you use simple delay, keep the left and right times slightly offset and the feedback modest. And if you use auto pan, keep it gentle. You want movement, not seasickness. Slow rates, low amount, and only bring it up in fills or switch-ups. This is where automation first really starts to shine. You might automate width over 8 bars, filter cutoff over 4 bars, and delay send only on the last hit of a phrase. That staggered movement is what keeps the arrangement feeling intentional. If everything opens and closes at the exact same time, it can feel mechanical. But if the width ramps, while the delay only pops in at the phrase end, and the filter opens a little differently, then the track feels like it's alive. Before you start widening too much, shape the transients. This is a big one. If the percussion hits are too spiky, stereo effects exaggerate the roughness. If they're too flat, the widening won't feel exciting, so get the transient profile right first. Drum bus is great here. Use a little drive, maybe 2 to 8%. Keep crunch low unless you want grit, and only push transients a little if the hits need extra bite. Glue compressor can help if the layer needs to feel glued together, and a touch of saturator can bring out harmonics that stereo effects can spread more clearly. A really practical trick is to automate clip gain or track volume on a few key hits before the width processing. Stronger attacks in the right places make the stereo bloom feel intentional. That's the kind of detail that makes a loop feel arranged instead of just repeated. Now let's talk about the arrangement itself, because this is where the magic really happens. In DNB, intro and outro sections need space for mixing, while the drop needs motion and impact. So think in sections. Bars 1 to 16. Keep it narrow and filtered. Bars 17 to 32. Start introducing automation and sparse echo tails. In the first drop, keep the layer mostly controlled, and let the width jump out only on fills every 4 or 8 bars. In a drop variation, increase stereo motion and add extra delays or reverb throws on off beats. In the breakdown, pull the width back and strip the returns. And in the final drop, go for the widest version only if the bass line and snare still read clearly. A really effective trick in roller style arrangement is to widen more aggressively at the end of each phrase, like bar 8 or bar 16 in an 8-bar loop. That way the groove keeps striding, but the ear still gets a clear signal that something is changing. You don't always need a huge fill. Sometimes a smart width move does the job better. Reverb should be used like a throw, not a permanent wash. That's essential in DNB. Too much constant reverb kills forward motion and makes the break feel lazy. So keep the layer mostly dry, and automate send levels only on selected hits. Use a short decay for subtle space, maybe half a second to 1.4 seconds, and a longer decay, maybe 1.8 to 2.8 seconds, only for transition throws. High pass the reverb return aggressively so it stays out of the low mids. Reverb on the last snare of a phrase, or on a hat uplift, can be massive if it's used sparingly. Now here's an advanced move that really elevates this workflow. Resample the automation. Once your width pass feels good, solo the percussion group and record it into a new audio track. Capture 8 or 16 bars of the movement, then slice the best moments back into the arrangement. Now you've got printed stereo textures you can use for fills, transition hits, intros, breakdown atmospheres, or call and response moments with the bass line. And because it's resampled, it tends to feel more finished, and it can actually save CPU too. Always check mono compatibility. Seriously, always. If the percussion disappears in mono, reduce the width or simplify the stereo processing. If the bass loses clarity when the percussion opens up, high pass the percussion more aggressively. If the snare feels smaller, shorten the reverb and lower the delay feedback. In DNB, the bass and snare own the center. The widened percussion is there to support the movement and the atmosphere, not steal attention. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the whole percussion loop stereo all the time. Don't widen before cleaning the low end. Don't lean on reverb instead of selective throws. Don't ignore phase and mono compatibility. And don't overload the drop with too many top loop elements. One good widened layer, automated well, is usually better than a stack of messy extras. If you want a darker, heavier result, keep contrast in mind. A narrow pre-drop makes the widened drop feel much bigger. Add just a touch of saturation before the stereo effects to bring out gritty transients. Use filtered echo repeats for a haunted warehouse feel, but keep feedback low so the groove stays tight. If the layer feels too polite, a little drum bus crunch can help without turning it to mush. And for neuro or darker bass music energy, those tiny automation changes every 4 bars, width, delay send, filter cutoff, they keep the tension alive. You can also get creative by splitting the layer into 2 stems. One stem can be dry, transient clicks that stay focused, while the other is a more processed airy layer that expands. Automate them in opposite directions. As the dry layer narrows, let the airy layer bloom. That creates a really cool sense of depth without turning the groove into haze. Another strong move is to create a pre-drop contraction. Pull the width in even tighter than expected during the last 1 or 2 bars before impact, then open it sharply on the downbeat. That contrast makes the drop feel huge. It's one of those simple arrangement tricks that hits way harder than just making everything bigger all the time. So the big takeaway here is this. In old school DNB percussion, width is not a fixed setting. It's a musical event. Use automation to make it breathe with the phrase. Keep the center clean. Let the upper transient band do the flashy work, and save your whitest moments for the places where they actually mean something. If you can make one chopped percussion loop feel narrow, open, and explosive in different parts of the arrangement without changing the sample itself, then you've got a seriously useful DNB technique. And once you start hearing the stereo field as part of the arrangement, not just part of the mix, your tracks will feel way more alive.